This is episode 65 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Happy August. How did August get here already? I love this time of year, and it always seems to slip by so quickly. But I am taking real advantage of it, making space to get outdoors, to enjoy some beautiful morning sunrises. It's my favorite thing right now. And evening sunsets. How about you? I hope you're making plenty of time and space to celebrate this wonderful time of year. And it won't be long before I'm deep into my fall events. My September 18th Extraordinary Women Connect event is shaping up so nicely. I've just finalized my panelists for the Circle of Inspiration facilitators just today. It's going to be a juicy one. For those of you in Denver, you're not going to want to miss this one. With all of the recent conversations I've been having here on Extraordinary Women Radio with women founders who have been raising capital, and at the same time, several of my clients are going through this process as well. In fact, one of my clients has recently raised over $1 million this summer. I'm so proud of her. And so I found myself really interested in this world of women raising capital. And our panel focus for the September Extraordinary Women Connect event will be all around this. It's going to be about women who have raised capital or who are helping women raise capital for their businesses. You can check out my website, Cami at CamiGilner.com, for the details on our panelists. And registration is now open. So jump out to grab your seat now. It's September 18th in Denver. Mark your calendar, and I hope to see you there. And speaking of women in the realm of capital raising, today's Extraordinary Women Radio guest is an angel investor. I am thrilled to host Joanne Wilson, who is an angel investor with a portfolio of over 90 companies. One of her companies is Lately. You might remember Kate Bradley Chernus, who was a guest a few months ago. And she's also funded companies like Food 52, Sweeten, Vengo, Nestio, Clutter, Union Station. She has been involved in numerous real estate transactions from beginning to end and continues to make investments in that world. She is also an investor in a few restaurants in the New York area. Joanne has had many careers before she found her way into angel investment, and she shares some of her reinvention stories in our interview today. She has maintained her very popular blog, GothamGal.com, for over 13 years and has recently taken her talents to the airwaves on her podcast, Positively Gotham Gal. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Gotham Gal, Joanne Wilson. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Joanne. It's such an honor to have you here today.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, well, I need to thank my good friend, Kate Bradley Chernus of Lately for connecting us.
I love Kate. She is a hustler.
She is a hustler. I love her too. And she's her tool Lately is a social media content builder and a scheduler and a marketing dashboard all in one. And it's a tool that makes my life so much easier. And so for anyone who's listening, I invite you to go out and take a look at try Lately and see if it's a good tool for you, because it's sure a great fit for me.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I mean, it's interesting, you know, when we're out there trying to make connections with a next round of investors. I just emailed one and he's like, not really for me. And his partner, she's like, I totally get this. I want to talk to her.
Right, right. And for those of us who are scheduling content on a regular basis and creating a lot of content, it's been just a lifesaver for me, because I can, dump a whole lot of content and all the posts get created and I just go leverage that. So it's been awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. So I've heard you say that necessity is a mother of invention and reinvention. Can you tell me about this? I know you've gone through a lot of reinventions over the course of your life and career. So just what does that mean to you?
I mean, I think that if for me, you're right, I have reinvented myself several times. I've had a variety of different careers, and I think in many ways I was ahead of the curve in that regard, because millennials and also I think Generation Z, they are not going to take a job out of college and then call it a day.
Right.
They're going to follow their path. They're going to, you know, and they're going to find out in their 20s, you know, what is it they want to do. And they have no fear of saying, this doesn't work for me, so I'm going to try something else. And, you know, I, in many ways, you know, leaving the first job that I was at, it was definitely, I thought, God, you know, that's a big thing. You know, I, this is my first job out of college and I not, you know, I'm leaving and I'm quitting and then what? And then it's amazing. Once you leave one and you can, you know, move into another, and then move into another, I mean, the fear factor just drops dramatically. So I think, reinvention for yourself, reinvention for your companies. I mean, even look how many brands out there that, you know, the new Coke, the new this, the new that, you know, you have to redo it. And we're seeing in retail the perfect example of the demise of old school retailers that have not seen the future and reinvented themselves. And so you always have to be thinking ahead.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And it's that paying attention to what is calling to you. And I love your analogy around fear, that the more you do it, the less scary it is, because you know that we're following a pathway, a journey that's different, and there's new things and new exciting new energy that's really coming into the mix of that lifts us up. So I think it's really a fun time to just keep reinventing, to keep being on the edge of that. When you think about all of your reinventions, is there one particular defining time or situation that really stands out, that just forever shaped or changed your life?
It's a great question. I did a podcast with Pat O'Shaughnessy, and at the end of his podcast, he asked everyone the same question, which I do like, and I think you do the same thing. And I keep moving on that one in my podcast, but he asked me a question, which was, what is the kindest thing anyone ever did for you? And he said, some people respond instantaneously. Other people, you know, can't come up with it. And I couldn't come up with it. And it stuck with me for weeks on end. And I actually wrote a blog post about it, because I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is the kindest thing anyone's done for me? Or, you know, because I think it's important to reciprocate that kindness.
Right.
And so I came up with actually, I think, And by the way, the person on the giving end doesn't have to know what they're giving you is kind, right? So
right.
I was fired from a job. And honestly, that was a defining moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I didn't really enjoy it. I knew that I was trying to figure out how to work and have children at the same time. And I had something very stuck in my head, which was the fear of not being present in my children's lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I left running a company to just do sales. And when they fired me, he basically said to me, not only should you not be reporting to me, you shouldn't even have my job. I should be reporting to you.
Ah.
You know?
What a gift,
and I was
right?
like, it was a gift. I mean, you know, I was so like, oh my God, I can't believe I've been fired. I have two young children. We're about to move. And, you know, I called my husband. I was like, oh my God. And he's like, you know what? It's time for you to get out of that industry.
Right.
And, you know, and in many ways, I would have probably figured out how to make it work for myself somewhere else in that industry and continue down a different path. But because I was fired, I went home. I stayed home with my children for a couple of years. Financially, it was insanely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it was honestly a very transformative moment when it was ready to, like, I got to get back in the game here, I ended up moving into the technology world. And so, you know, it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that. I think about the best gift that ever came my way was when I got laid off. And I got laid off in 2008 when, you know, right when all the markets crashed and there were no more VP of marketing jobs around at that, you know, in that space at that time. Mm-hmm. And it forced the time off, right? I took time off and I found a whole different pathway and I wouldn't have found that. So I love that, you know, so often people don't know that that's the gift that they're giving to us. But it's such a wonderful way to look at things like that is really to look at it from a gift perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear about your angel investment. So with a portfolio of more than 90 companies, why have you really chosen to focus on female entrepreneurs?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm at like 110. You know, when I started this, remember, it was over a decade ago, and mm-hmm. we're in a very different point of the beginnings of kind of startup nation. And, you know, I had started blogging. I wasn't working at that point, but I started this blog and, Gotham Gal, and I started hearing from all these women. And at the same time, I was watching the next generation of the web start to percolate. And mm-hmm. so I was having all these meetings with women and hearing from women through email because there wasn't discussion at that point. Funny enough, women still email me directly with blog posts instead of like commenting on them, which I find interesting. But I started meeting all these women and it was so apparent to me that they were great entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They were dedicated to their business. They were filling voids in their lives that happened to be voids, which women tend to do, that had the potential to be very large businesses. And the people on the other side of the table just weren't committing to that. Now, again, things have changed because capital has changed and venture has said, oh, maybe I will do consumer products. But right then I was like, you know what, I'm going to be committed to these women because so many of them that I met said, you know, would you please, you know, be of help because everyone I talk to all day is men. And there is something when you could sit with another woman on the other side of the table and be having a conversation about business, but you can have conversations that have a different type of intimacy, that as a founder, it's nice to know that there's someone there for you.
Nice. Nice. And I have a lot of clients and people that I know, women who are doing fundraising right now. And it is a difficult world. And so having someone to really sit down and have, you know, a deep conversation on this pathway, on this journey to lean into, to look to as a mentor. I'm sure many of your companies really look to you as a mentor to help them through that process.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I definitely consider myself a consigliere to every single founder I'm invested in. And I make myself available. I mean, some use me more than others. Mm-hmm. But I feel that, you know, I'm never going to be that person who's going to write the $1 million check, mm-hmm. but I know how to navigate it. And I know, most of the people on the other side of the table. And so I do think that there's value having someone like that on your side.
Oh, absolutely. And what is it about women owned companies, women led companies that's different? I know there's great numbers behind the financials that women owned companies are doing really well from a financial perspective, but what is it about women mm-hmm. that makes it different from an investment perspective?
Well, I think that, you know, the great thing about women is they cross their T's and they dot their I's. Mm-hmm. A bad thing about women is they cross their T's and dot their I's.
So they think through it too much.
They way think it too much. And they also, you know, when men come into your office and pitch you, they act like they know everything they're talking about. They overestimate what they think the company's worth. You know, I'll see women come in and they'll be so honest about down to the number that it's almost comical. And so, I mean, that's just one particular example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think women tend to build really great teams and mm-hmm. companies. I mean, I have one company, she had to literally lay off a huge portion of the company, which was, is a story in itself for the book. But, you know, what was great is that now things are on back track and, you know, people want to come back and work for her. And when she let everyone off, everyone went to a bar that night and like hung out. Like she obviously was an incredible manager of people. And so I think that, you know, and then most of these women are true survivors. I mean, they, you know, I've seen men take money, doesn't work. Okay, fine, next. That would be a really hard thing for a woman to do. Mm-hmm. It's just not in their DNA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's that they're hard workers, they stay at it, and they're resilient through it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, the founder of Stitch Fix, but if you look at her, mm-hmm. you know, she raised $35 million and had an IPO. Let's look at others in their space. They've raised $100, $150, $200 million. And, you know, what kind of returns are those investors going to have? Right. I mean, so that's, I think that kind of defines it right there.
Right. Nice. Nice. So besides the obvious, the good financials, you know, the great leadership potential, what else are you looking for in companies that you invest in? And how do you make your final decision that, yes, this is a go, I'm going with this one?
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, I think that in many ways, unfortunately, I've become extremely jaded in the past couple of years because, you know, the areas that I think that are really worthy to invest in right now are areas that I wouldn't invest in, things that I've invested in 7 years ago. I won't touch those industries anymore.
Okay.
So much has changed. I think you got to change. I think that you have, if you're going to invest in healthcare, you're going to invest in cryptocurrencies or even education. I really think you need to spend 24/7 of your time there. I think that you cannot be as much as a generalist as I could be for the time that I had been angel investing. And so that's changed. But in general, I'm looking for really smart, scrappy founders that have tenacity, that are out of the box and are survivors. I mean, I have two investments right now. They invested one round each. And I don't only invest in women. These happen to be men who, in many ways, behave like women, which is probably why I've been drawn to them. And, you know, they've had a hard time raising capital. But meanwhile, they've figured out how to essentially circulate debt to build their company where, you know, one of them is doing $300,000 a month in revenue. And so that is amazing. And, you know, as a first round investor and being involved, you know, if they can build that company up on that momentum at one point, get an institutional investor that wants to, you know, put in a big check, they're kind of off to the races and done because they know how to build a business on very little and be profitable. Right. And so, you know, if those companies sell for $100 million or they become lifestyle businesses and put out capital every year, that works for me. It might not work for an institutional investor, but to me, it's fantastic.
Nice. Nice. So when you think about your most successful companies that you've invested in, what have been the mm-hmm. common factors that really attributed to that success? Are there themes that you've seen?
You know, it's something that I've definitely thought about. You know, you see commonalities and... But I think they all have killer instincts. It's funny, I emailed a venture capitalist the other day about looking at a company. And he said, you know, this isn't something that I would look at, but if it's one of your killer founders, I might step out of the box and meet with them. And I thought that was very funny. Because every person he'd met through me, you know, and I've heard that from other people, which is like, I used to deal a lot with someone who was at a major VC firm. He was a smaller partner. He's now gone on to do his own thing. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily right for the firm, but he would always say to me, you know, if it was me, these people you find are amazing. They're just, they're great founders. And so I think that, you know, I've certainly made missteps and I've made miscalculations, but for a variety of reasons, you know, be it someone who I'm drawn to because I've been very drawn to people that are, you know, people of color or Latinos and women where I want to make a change, particularly for people of color so that more people can rise up as entrepreneurs so that next generations will have someone to point to as a role model, that they'll do that themselves. And so, you know, I definitely have a sweet spot for that area.
And maybe there's a different fire for success, you know, that drive for success. When there is that gap, it's like, gosh, I really need to work hard to make this happen, to make this work. So there's a big fire to make it work. And maybe that's what you're feeling a bit of. In that instinct that helps people move that forward. And also, I just want to appreciate your instinct and being able to pick the companies and to say, you know, this, I see this in this company. Your instinct that guides you through that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the most frustrating part of being an angel investor, is that capital, you know, it's really, just because I think it's great doesn't mean that someone with a really deep pocket thinks it's great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the industry as a whole, and many, not all, but many of the firms tend to be sheep. And so if one jumps, they all jump. And so I think having undercapitalized founders is one of my largest frustrations.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about women in leadership in their companies and corporate jobs and, you know, in our country. I see so many women standing up, finding their voices. What is changing today within women, right? It's what's that drive within women compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even 2 years ago, that is shifting how women want to stand up in their voice?
And I think it's generational.
Do you?
I mean, I do. If we look at the Me Too movement, per mm-hmm. se, mm-hmm. as well as even going back to women that were starting businesses 10 years ago that I invested in, it became cheaper to start a business, so you could do it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Me Too generation, I think, is the most interesting because, you know, I think that someone at a company decided this was unacceptable behavior and spoke out.
Mm-hmm.
Not that this has not been going on for decades upon decades.
There's
right.
I mean, for being able to voice it, right?
Right. And, you know, even some woman I know was in a law firm, and the law firm, their way of being changing was to have a golf outing so all the women could learn how to golf, which is incredibly like deaf ears, but also not realizing, you know, they don't want to do business on the golf course. They don't want to be men. And so this generation of women that are in their, let's say, mid-30s and younger,
mm-hmm.
they're righteous. They, and particularly women in their mid-20s to 30s, mm-hmm. they were raised in in homes where helicopter parents who told them they can do anything they want and be anything they want.
Right.
And now they're in these jobs and they're thinking, I don't need to be, no freaking way. I'm not going to be treated like this.
Right.
And I think that righteousness and makes this comfortable ability to stand out and say, I'm not going to take this shit anymore. And then the women that I know in their early 40s, actually more late 30s, that have young children now, are looking at their lives and thinking, you know, my company is not really working with me in regards to wanting to be present for my children, wanting to be there for my family and friends, because I'm still going to do the job 24/7. That's changed the world too. Computers, iPhones, what have you. And so if you can't change for me, so I can have the right lifestyle for myself, I'm out of here.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that all of those things connected is what has changed for women. And I think we will continue to see that. I mean, I will hope that many of the women that I backed many, many years ago, this week we saw 3 or 4 major companies led by women founders raise millions and millions of dollars. And once those companies become public or they are, you know, acquired by another company at large valuations, that's when things will change, because then you have another generation of women that are young, 10, 12, 14, 15, are looking to those women and say, I can do it because she did it.
Right.
And I don't think that was available so much in the past. Women stayed under the radar. And once they had their success, many times they just went home.
And I think the companies, well, that wave that's coming, that is you know, has started to be here, but is even coming, the bigger groundswell underneath of that, will force companies to really shift the way they work within that space, because it's in order to attract the good talent that they need in their businesses, they're going to have to shift.
They're going to have to shift, or they're not going to get the talent. That's exactly it. They're going to lose the talent, or the talent will come, they'll pay off their college loans, and then they're out the door.
Right, right. Interesting, interesting. So you co-founded the Women's Entrepreneurs Festival in 2011. I would love to hear about it. Tell us about it. What? Why did you start it? How it's evolved over the years? Just tell us a little bit about it.
So, you know, listen, my co-founder is a professor at NYU's ITP department, which is about technology meets arts. And she was very frustrated that there wasn't enough women in her classroom this particular year. ITP tends to be 50-50 in regards to gender in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And it changed the dynamic. And she's like, there's not enough women in tech. I mean, this is a woman who's been in technology forever. You know, she was at Apple. And I said, no, actually, there are a lot of women in technology. It's just that women tend to network differently. Mm-hmm. And so you don't see them out there. And so she said, I want to do this conference. And she said, would you do it with me? And I was like, sure. I mean, it was at a time in my life, I was more like, yeah.
Sounds fun.
And so we started this conference. Exactly. Sounds fun. Sure. And we started this conference. And the day the conference started, we knew we were onto something within 5 minutes. I mean,
absolutely.
You could just see it. And it was amazing. And so with the conference continued for 7 years. We did it at NYU for 6 years. The seventh year, we took it out of NYU, and we did it at One World Trade Center. My sister ran it. It was a profitable business, you know, after running in a under a nonprofit umbrella. It was great. And then I put it on ice. And the reason is that I had a hard time getting sponsors, which is crazy because the majority of women at this conference were really entrepreneurs and a variety of women of all different ages that are early adapters. But I get it. You know, sponsors want to sponsor something where there's 3,000 people there, not 400 people there. Mm-hmm. And so the first year was great. The second year, you know, was also the rumblings of the Trump administration. And I think a lot of people freaked out about their budgets or what's going to happen to the country or their companies. And so I just said, yeah, I can't do this. I can't get the sponsorships and do what I do with my investments and all these different things. So let's put this thing on hold. So I met these two women at an event I spoke to in Boston, and they have a company called Brazen, which is a organization, like a franchise.
Yeah, I think there's a Denver one up right now.
Yeah, yeah, and mostly secondary cities. And they said, we would love you to bring back We Festival, and we would partner with you, and we would do all the sponsorships because we think this is a great, it could be like our once a year major event in New York. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I looked into Brazen. These women are fabulous. And I said, you know, that's an interesting concept because the people that are at Brazen are the people that came to our conference.
Okay.
And what makes the conference unique compared to the multiple conferences that launched after we started, you know, these women entrepreneur conferences, mm-hmm. is that we don't charge $2,500 a ticket. You know, we charge $350 or $375, skin in the game. But, you know, and the content is good, but it's not that. It's about creating a community. Right. And the amount of people that I have talked to that went to the Women's Entrepreneur Festival over the years, oh my God, I still have, you know, once every 6 months, this group of 15 women get together still from that conference.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, two of my best clients came from that conference, or my co-founder came from that conference. And I hear it time and time and time and time again. And so, you know, I think that creating that community for women founders, regardless of women starting a, you know, a CPG product or a biotech company or a company that is going to be a lifestyle business that might only be a $20 million a year business, or someone who wants to build a $1 billion business, you know, and then, you know, people that are 20 to 60. It is about like-minded thinkers. And so I believe we will be bringing this back, and we're working on that right now.
Oh, awesome. Well, that's exciting. Well, you have to let us know if you do bring it back, and we'll share the word.
Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your biggest hope for women in the future? I just think we're at such an interesting place right now. I think there's all kinds of opportunities opening up for women. What is your biggest hope for women?
Equality. Listen, at the end of the day, men and women are different people. Mm-hmm. And I hate to use a sports analogy because it's such an easy thing to fall back on, particularly in the men's arena. But if you think about it, what's amazing about sports and men is that you can get a group of 25 men together. Two of them could be painters, you know, five could be artists, three could be investment bankers, all different people from different walks of life with different amount of, revenue that they've made for themselves over the years, you know, different mm-hmm. amounts of wealth, mm-hmm. their connection, they can sit there and talk about the Yankees forever.
Right.
Women don't have that kind of connection, that one thing. Women are multi-layered people. And so the importance of women sitting at the table, running companies, and also so being able to have the balance to have a family and have a life outside of work mm-hmm. And be leaders, I think is, you know, my biggest hope for women, that they don't have to worry that they're not going to be making as much money as their male counterparts. They don't have to worry that they can't be home on Friday afternoon to see their kids' soccer game. You know, that they don't have to worry that they need to be home because the parent is sick. I mean, on and on and on and on. I mean, and I want to hope that changes, that it just becomes more seamless for women. And that is difficult.
And what else I appreciate in your response to that is, you know, really acknowledging that women and men are different. And if we can continue to celebrate what is wonderful about women, about our unique beings, about how we are multi-dimensions and the empathy that we bring to the table and all of the different, you know, gifts that we have as women, the more we can really embrace that, that helps bring that equality as well, so that we can just truly show up as women and not try to project to be something else.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting in the future. I mean, certainly nature versus nurture is a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, raising children with no gender issues. So there's mm-hmm. more fluidity about what it is you are and who you are. And I think that that's a great thing. But I do think that fundamentally, there is innate things about how women operate and men operate, and we should embrace those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you are a fellow podcast host. Your podcast is Positively Gotham Gal. What prompted you to follow the call to podcasting, and what do you love most about it?
When we started this Women's Entrepreneur Festival, one of the things I started doing every Monday was writing a post called Women Entrepreneur of the Week. Mm-hmm. And it was highlighting how many women entrepreneurs are out there. And I must have written 400 of them.
Nice.
If not more. And you know, it was really the hardest piece of the week. And I it wasn't what I got tired of it, but I just felt like I needed to change it, take it to another level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really enjoyed the conversations that would then transcribe into the posts that I would read, and decided it made more sense to have these, you know, fluid conversations as people are much more interested in listening to content these days. And so mm-hmm. that's really why I started doing the podcast. And, you know, it's just an expression of what I've been doing for over, you know, a decade, which is talking to women.
Right. Right. So just taking that to another level of sharing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love podcasting. I've had so much fun with my podcast. So, I think it's a fabulous medium, and it's, you just get to hear so many rich stories, and, you know, it's inspiring. It's inspiring for me.
It is inspiring. It is. I mean, you definitely hear stories that, that you would not have necessarily thought out in regards to reading them.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's the next big thing for Gotham Gal?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm always trying to think about what's next.
that next reinvention,
you know,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I've been thinking a lot about the last couple of years per se, because, you know, I think the landscape is changed in regards to investing. I do think there will be a market correction. You know, I do a lot of different things on the side, but, you know, I'm excited, and I hope that the WE Festival will return.
Yes, me too.
You know, yeah, I'm going to continue podcasting. I'll continue blogging. I think I probably won't do as many investments a year. I'll think of that differently and sort of retool my thesis. You know, I do want to, sort of take time. And one of the things I started years ago is I took off one day a week, because I felt like I knew who I was. If I didn't take that day off, this is my day off during the week. You know, by Friday, even by Thursday afternoon, I could barely crawl. I mean, I was just so exhausted. And as you get older, as much as I think that I'm, you know, have that same energy, I don't. And
right.
So this fall, I made a, you know, conscious decision is I'm going to take off 2 days a week.
Oh, nice.
Not that I won't do phone calls, or once that I won't do things, you know, but I won't have meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will help me think about what comes next.
Absolutely.
And I think if you don't take out that time, it's impossible to think about what's going to come if you don't sort of give yourself space.
Oh, I totally agree. I think otherwise we can fill it full of, you know, noise and information all the time. And if we don't have space to pause. So I really admire that approach to, you know, moving to 2 days for yourself. That's awesome. That's totally awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I choose to do something, then it's my choice. It's not like, you know, not that everything's not my choice, but, you know, it's a way to keep myself in check.
Absolutely. So how can our listeners learn more about you and your work, Joanne?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm you know, gothamgal.com is my website, all the podcasts on there. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud, which is, you know, Positively Gotham Gal. And, you know, that's the best way to sort of see what I'm doing and what I'm writing about, what I'm thinking about, because I do, you know, basically post 6 days a week, leaving Sunday for my day off. And, you know, it could be anywhere from today. I posted about a amazing cake that I made last week, to, you know, thinking about, you know, where things are going in the future. So it's really whatever top of mind on my end.
I love that. I totally love that. And I love the consistency of it. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, once I went back, someone asked, I was going to write a book and I never did it. Although I do think about that, you know, once in a while I come up with an idea and I'll put it into my little file book. You know, I could tell all the bad tales of all the terrible human beings in the industry. you know, I was like, I'm going to put this one in the book. But, you know, I think that, you know, we'll see where it all goes.
Awesome. 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 So what three pearls of wisdom can you leave with our audience today?
You know, I think my three pearls of wisdom is, be self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
I think being self-aware will get you a lot further.
Absolutely.
You know, people are disconnected from the reality of who they are, it tends to not go well.
Mm-hmm.
So be self-aware. Two is trust your gut.
Nice.
Every single founder I know who says, I just feel this is the right thing. I was like, if you think it is, it is. You have a gut and there's a reason for it. Go with it. Mm-hmm. And I would say the third thing is, you know, and, you know, is really particularly for people that come to me for advice, you know, that are younger, but I think it's the truth for anyone, you know, which is follow your heart. You know, I met with someone the other day who she's corporate law and, she'd had it. You know, she's just like, I can't do this anymore. I make a lot of money, but I like law, but I'm thinking maybe I'll get into this law because it's happening now. And I said to her, what do you like doing? Like, what do you like in your personal life? And she's like, oh my God, I love the world of, design. You know, it's something I really enjoy on the side, you know, like modern design, furniture design and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, then why don't you find a law job inside a company that you admire that's within that space?
Right.
And she's like, God, I never thought about that, you know? And I was like, you know, why, you know, if you get up every day, you should enjoy what, you know, you're doing. And that can be anything. And
right. So,
you know, it's follow your heart, you know, and if, you know, if delivering mail, you know, you enjoy the community, great. But I really believe you got one life and, you know, you should figure out how to figure out what drives you and incorporate that with your heart.
Oh, so agree with you. And that, what a gift you gave her that day, that idea. I mean, that's one of those kind of life-changing gifts that she's going to go back and go, I remember when I was talking to Joanne and she said this, right? And it's like it can change whole pathways. So that's beautiful. So thank you so much for everything today. I really appreciate
it. Pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure chatting with you. You have a good day.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, too.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. Bye.
Bye. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you thinking about making the next bold move in your life? I invite you to take the Your Next Bold Move quiz at CammieGellner.com to find out how you can jumpstart a passionate and meaningful next chapter. You may also enjoy my book, Fire Dancer, Your Spiral Journey to a Life of Passion and Purpose, which is available on Amazon. In Fire Dancer, you will become intimately connected to your heart's calling and build the courage and resiliency to ignite your what's next. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter, and the links are available on my website. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.